Hello and welcome to FOFOP. I'm Will Anderson. I am the host of the podcast, the very irregular FOFOP podcast now. But this is the second part of a two-parter with... that's the second part of a two-parter. Okay, yes. It's the second part of a two-parter. Well, actually, that's all right, right? Because it could have been the second part of a three-parter. It wasn't quite as stupid as it really is because it's the second part of two parts. So it's... just, anyway, whatever. Like, I really haven't started well. This is just the plug. So I've got a new show. It's called Illegal. Well, I don't have a new show yet, but I will be up in Brunswick Heads at the Brunswick Picture House doing a run of shows to work out my new show, my work in progress show. So they're on sale at the moment, almost sold out, but a few tickets left if you want to come and see those. And then the tour starts in Adelaide at the Adelaide Fringe. I do Illegal there. Fewer shows than usual, and they are selling faster than usual. So... do the maths on that. But if you want to come along and see the show, then get along in Adelaide. Get along early before I have to cut stuff out legally. And then after that, I'm going to Brisbane for the Brisbane Comedy Festival, three nights only. And then the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, my home festival, the greatest comedy festival in the world. I'll be doing pretty much a full run of Illegal there. So tickets are on sale for that as well. Tickets are also now on sale for my shows at the Perth Comedy Festival. So I'll be coming to Perth to do the show over there as well. And for those people in Sydney and Hobart and other places, I am hoping to come to you. Sydney, hoping probably be second half of next year. And other places, not quite sure yet, but I'll let you know when I know. Hoping to come to Canberra. Anyway, like, I'm hoping the show will be really good and I can bring it to heaps of places. That's the plan. All right, I hope you enjoyed this episode with Justin, and have a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy whatever thing you celebrate, or maybe you don't celebrate. So have a happy non-celebration. All right, that'll do. Bye.
The following episode of FOFOP is classified MA. It contains some coarse language, some nudity, drug references, a sex scene, time travel, terrible Batman impersonations, a Charlie Clausen pronounced Clausen-shaped hole, and mild coarse language. FOFOP advises that the program is not suitable for persons under the age of 15, and minors must be accompanied by an adult guardian or priest. This is John Deake speaking.
Hello and welcome to FOFOP. I'm Will Anderson. It is a series. Well, two. It'll be two. A series of two.
Yep.
With Justin Hamilton.
It's an anthology.
No longer guest Charlie. Justin Hamilton. We were outside. I've just made the dogs some food. So they've just eaten their dinner.
It is a process.
Yeah.
Like, it was fun to watch and it went for a while.
Yeah. Look, it's... Look, here's the thing. They're on a new diet, mostly because Winnie's a bit allergic and she'll become a bit rubby and scratchy. And so we're trying to, you know, deal with that. But secondly, they were fart machines, as you knew.
It was out of control.
As people who listen to the podcast will know, because occasionally they'll be in here and drop one. Now, they're not fartless now, but they are down to margin of error because of this new diet they're on. And basically what it is, it's really healthy and it's good for them. And it was recommended by a nutritionist.
Good on you for bringing back drop one.
Right. So...
I haven't heard that in a long
time. Pull my paw. So.
Oh, Ramona.
Ramona Methane. So, it's a new stage act.
It's a cabaret show.
It's her on a poster, farting out of one end and getting someone to pull her paw on the other end.
Yeah, Mr. Methane's furious. Yeah. Finally, he's got some competition.
So anyway, what it is a mixture of kangaroo. Yes, it's on our, look, it's on our emblem, our coat of arms.
Yeah, well, you're not cooking that one.
So that's true.
Yeah.
The one who posed for that photo in the first place.
Yeah.
Probably long dead. Anyway, rest in peace.
Yeah. Thanks for the pose.
Hero koala. No, koala.
Kangaroo.
Kangaroo. Lost my mind.
This is because you've gone through this process.
Right. So I've gone through this process. It was quite tiring. Go to bed, Ramona. Go to bed. Go to bed. So they've just had food now, so they'll be a bit revved up. But she can just lay down.
Just relax.
They just had a little bit. They didn't have their full meal, but I just made it, so I had to give them some.
Yeah.
So basically, it's a bit of a process.
Yeah.
So the process is that I get the kangaroo from the supermarket.
Yeah.
And then what I do with the kangaroo is I marinate it overnight.
Right.
So it's got ginger in it. It's got parsley in it. And just a bit of oil, and to take out the kind of like odor of the kangaroo. It's quite pungent anyway, but
gamey.
Yeah, very gamey. But I try to soften it a little bit, give them a bit of flavor, which I like. And then I mix up a huge pot of vegetables. So there's sweet potato, a lot of sweet potato.
A lot of sweet potato.
There's a bit of potato because it's a lean meat, so you can have a little bit more fat in their diet to balance it out. There's some carrot in there. Mm-hmm. There's some pumpkin in there. There's some peas at the end. They like the peas a bit sweet and a bit zingy.
By the way, for anyone listening who's suddenly hungry and thinking this is what the dogs are eating, it's okay. It does sound delicious.
I put some fresh parsley in there because that's good for the farts.
Yep. And then is it really?
Yeah. And then I do the kangaroo on the barbecue. Pretty quick. Just kind of sear it on either side and then bang it in, mix it all in together. And then when I serve it, if it's hot, I serve it with an ice cube because that kind of cools it down a bit. But then I make with it water a bit of a gravy out of the mixture.
Yeah.
And then it all mixes together. And then the dogs like it if the ice cube isn't fully melted, because then they get a bit of hot and cold sensation.
Right. So do you reckon when you're not around, Ramona and Winona just look at each other and go, fuck, we have nailed it. We have done well. That's more effort than I put into some of my meals.
They love it. They love it. They eat healthier than I do. Yeah. That is one thing I do.
Oh, yeah. Man, have I told you about my pizza odyssey?
No, tell me.
So about a month ago, I decided I was going to order a pizza in, and it was from a place where the base is just a tomato base, and you can just put on whatever you want.
Right.
So...
what's it called? Base me up. Just basics. Base, turn up the bass, drop the bass.
Yeah.
Basic instinct.
I was about to do that one.
Oh, okay.
Too quick. Every time. But so I just got pretty much a pizza that was mushrooms and cheese and some different types of cheeses, and just added a bit more cheese. And then I threw in some condiments. And that was it. So I was ready to go.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I was really pumped for it.
That sounds like the sort of pizza I would really enjoy.
So it's about 5:30. So, it's daylight saving. So the sun's starting to set. But it's not dark enough to turn on the lights in your house yet that time of night.
You're a poet.
Yeah.
You're a poet, Justin Hamilton.
Thank you.
Every fucking sentence you say is like a Paul Kelly lyric. I'm right there.
Just trying to paint
a picture. I'm right there in the moment. Well, you're a beautiful painter.
Yeah. And so it... arrives, and I'm wrapped, and I take a bite into it, and as I bite into it, I'm like, oh, what is that? Oh. And for some reason, what's the worst thing if you got the pizza that I ordered? What would be the worst thing you could put on it?
Anchovies?
Oh, yeah.
Mushroom, the worst thing. Chicken and mushroom, slimy and mushroom. Give me a clue.
Well, considering I don't eat red meat, and this is the thing that made me realize that I have gone full vegetarian because I haven't eaten meat in months.
So was it, I don't know.
But you're on the right path. It is full of seafood.
Seafood.
Yeah, all sorts of seafood.
Seafood, and I forgot about seafood. I was like, what's bad with mushroom? And I go in my head, I'm like, chicken and mushroom?
Yeah.
Red meat and mushroom? No, seafood and mushroom.
Oh, and terrible. It is just so pungent. It is Poseidon's treasure chest on a pizza. That's what's turned up. And so I can't eat it. So I get online and I'm trying to get in touch with them. And it turns out these things are really difficult to get in touch with when you need to fix your order. So now I've got this pizza that I just can't eat. And so I do a little bit of research, and the store is just up the road. So I say, I've got the receipt. It's had one bite taken out of it. I'll take it down.
Yeah.
So I walk down, get to the door. There's no store there. They're doing refurbishments. But there's a phone number there that you can ring to get them to let you in around the back. So I call them a couple of times, and they don't pick up. So now I'm standing on Elizabeth Street with a pizza with one bite taken out of it, and I can't get into the store. I don't know what the fuck to do, and I don't want to waste it. So I thought, you know what I'll do? I'll give it to a homeless person. Yeah. Right. So for anyone who's ever been in Surry Hills, you'll probably enjoy this next sentence, but I could not find a homeless person. Not one. And I was walking around. I was doing laps. I just could not find a homeless person. Like, where do they go? Do they go home? Like,
no, it was... Well, here's what I was going to say to you, because one night when I was staying in the city during the comedy festival, we got way too much Malaysian food, I think it was. Yeah. It was really delicious, but it was just...
Was this in Melbourne, sorry?
In Melbourne, yeah. And we just ordered way too much. And it doesn't keep well, that sort of food. You know, and we knew we wouldn't eat it the next day. And I had to go to my gig.
Mm.
So Amy was like, why don't you take, you know, the remainder of the food? There was heaps of stuff.
Right.
And, you know, give it to, like, you know, a homeless person.
Right.
And I was like, oh, yeah, it's like a 30-minute walk. I'll definitely go past someone. That's a really nice thing. Like, we didn't give them any, like, grotty leftovers or anything. It was only untouched stuff, you know. We got an extra rice thrown in and we got an extra blah, blah, blah. So there were things that hadn't been, like, opened or anything. They weren't just there, like, leftovers in a bowl.
Yeah.
And, I could not find a homeless person.
Right.
I was like, the thing that, like, the rest of the time, everywhere.
Yeah, I know. But
horrible epidemic that I think we should be doing much more about. Like,
heartbreaking. Yeah. And, you know, and I don't, look, I know this is a very weird conversation to be listening to where we're complaining we can't find homeless people, but I've got this pizza that I reckon...
No, I mean, yeah, you're literally just saying... In this moment where you want to do a good deed, should not that good deed be easy?
Right.
Like, should you have to work so hard? Like, I eventually found a guy.
Right. Well, so did I.
Okay.
So I had to go in under the pass, underneath the Central Station, and there were a couple of guys.
Suddenly you're walking into really dodgy areas you've never walked out.
Just
with bait.
Yeah, I know, waving it about. I'm a do-gooder.
How did I get mugged?
Yeah.
Sorry. Well, they were lured by their favourite essence in the world, mushrooms and seafood.
Oh, Lord. You know, I'll be the guy that they'll talk about on AM radio where people will be ringing in saying, well, he should have known better walking down there like that.
Yeah, or he should have known better combining mushrooms with seafood. They'll judge
I'd be furious.
You'll become the national joke where people will be going that your death was justified because of your
pizza taste. Yeah.
And or it'll become a mystery.
Right.
Like, someone will do a podcast about it 10 years from now where like, what it was really about, the fact that you had seafood and mushroom, and maybe there's been a movement that's grown out of it, people who'd never considered those two things. But
cereal food.
I mean, maybe.
So I found two guys.
So, yeah, okay,
they're busking, and they're, you know, one of them's not wearing shoes, and his feet are quite dirty, and that, and then ding, 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 you know, that kind of thing.
Sure.
So they're into it. So I thought, I'll go up to them. So I walk up, and they were finishing up their song, and I just put the pizza down, and I gave them the thumbs up, and they kind of nodded at me. And then they finished the song, and as I walked off, I literally heard one of them say, "Oh, seafood." I'm like, come on, man. I'm on your side. But
yeah, but at the same time, you have given you have given them something that's disgusting.
I know.
So,
even my good deed didn't really.
You've kind of rubbed their face in it. To be honest,
I know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually a really horrible thing.
Yeah.
You should actually throw the food in the bin because you're like, you know what? You're not that desperate.
That is the right thing to do by society.
Yeah.
And by the way, that story took about an hour and 20 minutes. It was ridiculous.
Oh, man. Yeah. So we were going to talk about George Clooney in our off-air conversation.
Oh, yeah, we were too.
And then we decided we would save it for the on-air conversation because it seemed a good thing to talk about because you love George Clooney.
And, I do love George
Clooney. And there's so many of our fellow males that we can't really love anymore.
Oh, yeah.
So let's fingers crossed that we don't lose George.
Lord.
You know, I'm hoping.
Yeah, it's every day you kind of, you know, open up Twitter and it's like, oh man, 2016, all my heroes died physically, but this year they've all died emotionally.
Yeah, worse. I mean, obviously worse for all the victims.
Of course. But, you know.
It's just a horrible environment and I'm glad it's correcting itself. And
it just makes you sad.
It
just makes you sad.
Yeah.
But anyway, George. So here's a positive story.
In this world of
sadness.
Everyday sadness and darkness and disappointment, George Clooney, at least at the moment, is a shining light of sunshine.
Yeah. So he got his 14 closest friends together. You know, he's got that gang of dudes that they grew up together and, you know...
Ocean's 15.
Ocean's 15. Oh, Ocean's 8 is coming out. What do you reckon?
So run me through Ocean's 8.
I don't really know.
It's all female?
Yeah.
Do we know? I can Google it.
Yeah, maybe Google it. Well, shall I tell the George story?
Yeah.
So Clooney gets these 14 mates in and ostensibly he says... You know, when I first moved to Hollywood, you guys were fantastic. You looked after me. You let me sleep on your lounge, et cetera, et cetera. And you know what? While I'm here to enjoy this and I can do this, he not only gave each of those friends $1 million, but he covered their taxes. So $1 million was theirs.
Yeah. So they took home $1 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not here's $1 million. You have to pay taxes.
Yeah. Enjoy that $233,000. He's covered the taxes. Like,
did he give it in suitcases?
I think he did, like $20 notes or something. Like, kind of did it as a real kind of...
Like
it would have been
deal.
Funny. Oh, yeah.
Well, you want to be confident it was going to be funny.
Yeah.
Well, there's got to be a thought...
He knows his audience.
When he gives you, like, $1 million in a suitcase of going, what happens now? Who do I have to fuck?
Yeah, who do I have to kill?
Who do I have to fucking kill? Kill and then fuck.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, God.
Because I'll do it. I'm just saying, who is it? And well, do I get to take this money home now?
No, knowing Clooney's politics, I'd probably be wrapped with the target.
Yeah. It's like Coney. We found Coney.
Yeah, great.
We want you to kill and fuck Coney.
Oh, my God. That's a twist no one saw coming. That's Ocean's 15. Anyway,
Ocean's 15, Colin Coney.
Yeah, perfect.
That'd be great if he gave his 14 best friends $1 million each in a suitcase and said, guys... It's time to stop Coney.
Oh, yeah. Far out.
He's just been sitting around going, fuck it, I'm going to do something.
Yeah.
Remember that Coney guy we were all interested in for a week?
Yeah. I'm bringing him back. Yeah. Oh, George, what a cracking bloke, right? That's great.
What happens, though, if someone gives you $1 million? What do you do? Do you just accept it? Is that the polite thing to do? You just go, okay.
Well.
I mean, it's a pretty grandstanding move. Like, it's a pretty baller fucking move. If we went to a dinner party at Lemo's house and he gave us all $1 million in a suitcase, what would your immediate reaction to that be?
Lemo!
No, fair enough. So he checks out. I guess he is like the George Clooney of our group.
He is too.
Yeah. You can put your confidence in Lemo. Everything will be okay.
I'd like Lemo to have 14 of us over for dinner and he all gives us $100.
Right. I'd be right.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I'd still be like, who do I have to fucking kill?
Yeah. All right, what do you want? No, aren't you meant to do that at $1 million? No, 100 million, whatever.
Whatever.
They're all zeros.
Principles, mate.
Yeah.
If I'm willing to do it for $1 million, I must be willing to do it for this. Or I've given in to the idea that capitalism changes who I essentially am at the heart of my existence.
Right, yeah. By the way, how do you feel if you know that... in your heart of hearts, you're 15th on the totem pole of friendship.
That's tough.
Yeah. Right? Imagine if you know you're top 15. Like, you'd think that's a pretty good career.
Your immediate reaction would be, what could I have done better? How could I have been a better friend?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you're like, you don't need to become his best friend.
No.
But if you realize that he was going to reward a top 14.
Yeah.
Like, it feels even a bit mean that, like, there isn't like golf, like, or tennis or whatever. There's still, it should be like top 10 got $1 million and then like 10 to 14 got like, you know, $500,000.
Yeah.
And then maybe some place getters.
Yeah.
Maybe like, you know, 15 to 20 got like some succession of like 100,000 down, but like something.
Yeah. 20th gets like a voucher.
Yeah. They kind of split $1 million. That's the extra $1 million.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Man. It's,
What do you get him the next time you have to
Yeah, well, that's something. The other thing. Like, you know what you have to do? You have to be creative. That's the only way you can counter that. You have to be so creative and, you know, really sell the story about that little turtle that's made out of shells.
I mean, by the way, I'm not thinking this is what he is doing and I don't want to make light of this in any way, but maybe he knows that some terrible secret is about to come out about him and he's like, well, I've chosen my 14 friends.
Oh, Lord, right.
Lock them in.
Imagine being that friend. Being the compromise friend who gladly took $1 million and now...
And then you find out something terrible about Clooney and you're like, this is tough.
Yeah. Yeah, you find out that he asked them to kill and murder Clooney.
I've already... that he is Coney.
He is Coney.
Yeah.
It was some elaborate suicide.
Yeah, George Coney is his actual name.
Oh, George Coney. Yeah, it makes sense. It's been hiding in plain sight.
Yeah. It was the greatest plan of all. No, yeah. That he's like, the real George Clooney was killed by Coney, and Coney took his identity.
Oh, yeah.
The more or, I'm doing.
Or could it be like The Usual Suspects and he's Cozy Sozy?
Oh, right, yeah, okay. Well, yeah, well, we can't enjoy The Usual Suspects anymore. Because
oh,
it turns
no, we
out.
Can't. No. Jeez, man.
Oh.
It is, you know, we always do this. Disclaimer, we know that this is dealing with very serious things in the world, but from a pop culture perspective, oh, man, there's just so much you can't enjoy anymore.
Well, here's something you might be able to enjoy. Ocean's 8. Because
oh, yeah.
out of this, you know, let's look at the positives, because we're two white fucking straight guys, so we're probably not the moral arbiters to, you know, have this conversation. Better let other people have it and us give space for that. Let's talk about Ocean's 8.
Yeah.
Mate.
Oh, sorry, I got so excited my voice cracked. Finally went through puberty. 45, made it. Take that, everyone at school.
Ocean's 8 is an upcoming American heist comedy film directed by Gary Ross.
Oh.
You might know Gary Ross. His full name is, of course, Glenn Gary Glenn Ross.
Yes.
And, wow, bang.
That's good.
Oh, yeah.
That's another movie we can't
enjoy.
To
be honest, I've been looking at that for the a little bit. So.
Yeah, but we can't enjoy that movie anymore.
No. So Gary Ross, written by Ross and Olivia Milch.
Mm-hmm.
It's both a sequel and a spin-off of the Oceans trilogy and will be released on June 8, 2018.
Oh, it's ages away.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
I don't know why. I just saw the poster and figured it must be out in like 3 to 4
Here's
months.
The premise. Denny Ocean's estranged sister, Debbie Ocean.
Debbie Ocean.
attempts...
I hope they know Billy.
...to pull off the heist. He's their other brother. It's like This Is Us. That is a very fucking joke that only a select few of people who listen to this podcast and also watch the TV series This Is Us.
Will big shout out to all seven of you.
Yep. okay. She attempts to pull off.
G'day. This is devolved into farce very quickly.
Yep. Pull off the heist of the century at New York City's star-studded annual Met Gala. Her first stop is to assemble the perfect crew. Lou, Rose, Daphne Kluger, Neen Ball, Tammy, Amita, and Constance.
Right.
So, let's run through the cast here. Sandra Bullock is Debbie Ocean.
Oh, right. So, that's George's sister.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Cate Blanchett is Lou.
Oh, yeah. So, she's in the Brad Pitt role.
Helena Bonham Carter as Rose.
Oh.
Anne Hathaway as Daphne Kluger.
Oh, yeah. I'm into all of this.
Rihanna.
Really?
Now it's got a bit Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
Rihanna probably is a good actress, I imagine. I haven't seen her acting.
I think I've only seen her do little things and thought she was quite good.
She seems quite cool, actually, Rihanna. Yeah. I probably judged her a little harshly there. I don't know. How do people feel? I don't really know how I feel about Rihanna. I have okay feelings about Rihanna without having any investment in it.
Sometimes her songs sound quite poppy.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Mindy Kaling as Amita.
Right.
Sarah Paulson as Tammy.
Sarah Paulson.
James Corden's in it, which is disappointing, but let's have a look who Sarah Paulson is.
I know that name.
She's a comedian. She's... what's she been in? Here we go. American Horror Story.
Okay. I know who it is. Yeah. Yep.
That's the thing. She's probably... Oh, in 2017, Time named Paulson as one of the 100 most influential people of the year.
Oh, wow.
Wow. I mean, there you go. How about that?
Do they just kind of wipe out December for these 2017 lists?
Everyone's on holidays.
Right.
They're like, no one's doing anything good from now on.
Yeah.
No one doing anything good. I don't want to have to rewrite this list.
Right.
So a couple of things. Justice League. We didn't really talk about Justice
League. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So what did you think? Because I got on my little, I enjoyed Star Wars. So
yeah.
you know, I enjoy things.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it.
No.
Well, I didn't hate it at the time.
No. It doesn't bear thinking about, no. But it doesn't outstay, it, you know, it actually, it, as a weird positive, it doesn't outstay its welcome.
No, that's true. But you should want to spend more time with that group of people.
That's, you know, it's a backhanded compliment.
You shouldn't be like going, hey, you made a Justice League movie and I was glad it didn't go for too long.
Right. Like, you want to stay in that world.
Yeah, it should be the opposite. It should be Lord of the Rings. It should be like, why didn't you split this up into three movies that go forever each?
Yeah. But it's not that.
You have to start watching one of them on the day that it comes out just to be up to date for the second one when it comes out.
Oh, man. You do not want to spend that long there. It is...
You should want to, though.
But you should. What it also does is it feels very much like a backhanded sweep across everything where it's like almost... this is probably me reading too much into it, but it's almost like, you know what, we'll do more of the Wonder Woman stuff and let's just... This finishes that part of the story and now we'll do better movies. That's what it's the hope that it's trying to sell.
There was certainly a bit of that about it. Like, it was like, well, this just had to come out anyway.
Yeah. We were locked in with this.
Zack Snyder had a go at it. Joss Whedon had a go at it.
Yeah.
Both of them probably would have made interesting enough movies, versions of it, but together in the way that it was together. Like, I think if he directed the action and Joss had done the sort of, you know,
character interactions
and stuff, then you probably would have ended up with a decent blockbuster movie. But that wasn't the way through a whole bunch of, you know, reasons that it was. So it was a bit of a mishmash of like... Yeah. But like you said, while I was in it, I was kind of going, oh, cool, like, blah, 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 or this. And then I'd be like, yeah, I guess that didn't really go to that place that I was hoping it was going to go to.
Yeah.
And that's what it'd be like in every scene.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh, this is about to get good.
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, oh, no, I guess it isn't.
And it kind of got a couple of character beats incorrect, I reckon.
What do you reckon?
Well, I would have swapped the heroes in the opening scenes, and I would have had Wonder Woman on the roof bringing down the Parademon, and I would have had Batman take out the bank robbers.
I mean, that does make a lot more sense.
Yeah.
When Charlie and I talked about that initial scene, we were like, we just couldn't understand it, but it feels like stuff has been cut out of it.
Yeah.
Well, it has been. They've put that on the record.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that I think Batman's motivation is he's trying to, he knows that the fucking creatures are attracted to fear.
Yeah.
And he's trying to get them to, you know, appear.
Yeah.
And there is actually some rhyme to his fucking, like, nonsense that he's carrying on with.
Yeah.
But whatever they've cut out and whatever that was meant to be, it wasn't that.
It wasn't
It wasn't like one of those, it should have been like one of those Christopher Nolan opening scenes where, you know, it tells you everything you need to know, but in one compact little,
oh, yeah, in like a movie. Like a 6-minute trailer.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, like, I know everyone's rabbited on about it, but this CGI'd moustache is, it is...
It's going to be one of those things that they're just going to be haunted by forever.
Oh, it's glorious.
It's like the jumping the shark. It's Fonz jumping the shark. It won't surprise me in the future where it's referred, like they come up with some term for it, and it's emblemic of our age.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Man, it is unbelievable.
It'll be when, like, Trump's over, hopefully, you know, sooner rather than later, and then we'll all try to pretend that it never happened.
Oh yeah. And they'll, yeah, they'll,
and learn no lessons about what, and we'll be just,
we Justice,
like,
Leagued
yeah exactly, we CGI moustached it.
Oh my god,
someone will write an article about it in the New Yorker and it'll become the term for it.
Yeah,
Douglas Coupland, or whoever the cool new Douglas Coupland is,
we'll
write a book about it and it'll define a generation.
Maybe we should do it. No, you've got heaps of jobs.
A generation doesn't need to be defined by two fucking middle-aged white guys.
How did that happen? I guess it's age.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, so what did you like about it? What were say some positive things.
Yeah, no, definitely. Look, I Gal Gadot is just really charismatic. You just really enjoy every scene she's in.
One of the worst things about how badly they fucked it up is that if they need to reboot it all, you go, what do you do with her and how do you, like, you know, keep her in it, because she's just fantastic.
Oh yeah, she's so good. Well, you know, I would I'd make her the leader, you know. And
you just ignore that all those other characters have been played by different actors or whatever and just reboot it,
yeah,
like with her in it.
Yeah, I would keep her. You just, like, you can, you just not lose,
explain,
her.
Like, You don't ever explain. Is there some sort of like?
No, nah, it's just like James Bond,
like your sort of scenario.
Well,
where
they're
like,
doing that. That's the Flash movie.
Yeah.
So that feels like a.
So would they an just reset track. It and like yeah?
And just keep her. You would just have to keep her. She's fantastic, and she looks great in the action scenes, and she pulls off comedy really well. Knows how to play vulnerable, and also look like someone who could punch a man through a wall. She's great.
Charlie and I talked about it on our podcast, but like, I did notice the return to the male gaze, though. It was very obvious.
Yeah,
like you're just like, ah, okay, yeah. Sure. Yeah. You learn the lesson from Wonder Woman that she's really good and should be in it heaps.
Yeah,
you didn't learn the lesson of like we don't need to look at her ass.
Yeah, no. But in Zack Snyder's defense, he will do lots of shots with Henry Cavill with his shirt off.
Yeah, no, it's balanced.
He's equal opportunity. Yeah, in that regard, I have to be honest. I thought the Flash might annoy me from the trailers, and for the most part. I actually enjoyed him. Same with Jason Momoa. I didn't think that was Aquaman. That looked like Lobo. But doesn't matter. I thought he brought a swagger and a bravado that was pretty entertaining.
He had a crack.
Yeah.
But in the way that you were like some of the time he was like a Ninja Turtle.
Yeah.
Some of the time he was this dark, brooding, like, you know, man of mystery. And some of the time he was just like riding a wave and going like, woohoo, whoa, dude. And
yeah,
shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
And like, surfs up, bro, and you're like, yeah. Hang on, what's going on now?
Yeah.
My man.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, my man. Oh, dude, it's just so much.
But at the same time, I agree, he was having a crack.
Mm.
The Flash I was less convinced by, but just mostly because I watched that Flash TV show, and yeah. I just think he's so good at it
yeah.
that it's hard to see someone else.
Well, if they ever, you know, they've hinted at Crisis, haven't they, in the Flash series? So yeah. Maybe if they could get their shit together and have the two Flashes team up and beat Marvel at their inability to get the Netflix characters into things, that would be great.
Well, I wonder what all this, like, I haven't read enough about it yet, but the amalgamation of all these, like, media companies now with Fox and Disney and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, whether that's going to be a terrible thing or whether it's going to be one of those things where we're like, we'll be distracted by how terrible it is by the fact that Wolverine will be in a fucking film with...
Oh, completely. It's such a terrible, terrible, terrible idea for the rest of the world. But, you know, imagine Wolverine's claws finally coming up against Cap's shield.
Right. Yeah, that's fun.
That clang will echo for a year with excitement.
Well, it's just such a great way, like, they've got... You know, they want to reboot Wolverine, clearly,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know...
Good timing.
Great timing.
Yeah. Now they get their hands on the Fantastic Four as well, and it'll be interesting to see if they can pull it off.
It'd be great if they finally made one. They could call it Fantastic Four, but like it'd get a lot of headlines that say Fantastic Five Star Fun because they would. Sorry, that was a long way to go. That was a not fantastic riff.
What would I have done when I used to do trying to use that theory when I used to do movie reviews? I'm giving Fantastic Four five Fantastic Fives out of five. but yeah.
I've been reading a bit of like Fantastic Four because I was telling you I bought the Planet Hulk.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And that starts with a lot of Fantastic Four stuff.
Yeah.
And Ben, that's Ben, isn't he? The thing.
Yeah.
What's his name? Ben.
Ben Grimm.
Yeah. old Rocky McRock.
Yeah.
He and the Hulk have like a good
tussle.
Good fight at the start.
Yeah.
And
but
it's
the Hulk's
like,
stronger.
Yeah, but like he's kinda like the Hulk reckons that he's the only one who could probably beat the Hulk.
Yeah.
And it's like you're like, oh, this is a cool character when used right.
Yeah.
Like it'd be cool kinda have someone who like as strong as the Hulk who isn't like a angry Hulk or like or some Hulk robot fucking suit.
Yeah.
Although have you seen the
Infinity
trailer?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
I don't know. There was something weird about watching it. I think incrementally what Marvel's done to me is with the after credit scene, now I sit through a lot of the movies waiting to find out what the after credit scene is going to be. Yeah. So it makes me always feel like I've got a 2-hour trailer to sit through. And then what that means is now that they've announced, they haven't told us what the second Avengers movie's called, so I'm not excited by this because I want to know what the second one's called. And then they say, we've got 20 movies planned. It's like I'm always looking forward. So I thought it looked all right. The trailer that I'm really excited by is Black Panther.
Black Panther looks amazing, although there's some spoilers in the Avengers, right? Because they're like, well, the fact that he's not dead, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not going to Zack Snyder it. They're not going to kill him off.
Kill off the Black Panther in the first
place. But he looks... I was watching Civil War again the other night.
Oh, yeah.
And I love watching that movie right up till the big fight at the airport. Like, that's my favorite bit, and then often I don't watch the ending of it. But I just think that's such a great movie up until that point. I just enjoy... I can just watch it over and over and over.
Yeah.
And...
That Cap trilogy is underrated.
But I really do... Well, it's been good at moving the story along.
Yeah.
So that, you know, you can do other things with... Like, it's... Like, the Captain... You talk about, like, Avengers movies, but most of the Captain America movies are, like, feel Avenger... Yeah, like, we're certainly...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the direction they've gone.
Yeah. In. Well, you know, that first one's superhero Raiders of the Lost Ark. And then the second one, you know, you get the espionage. And then the third one, they just go, oh, this is essentially the Avengers.
Right.
Like, this is great. But from Cap and Iron Man's perspective.
Yeah.
And
it's also a better Avengers story.
Oh,
you
yeah,
got
yeah.
Some fucking CGI monster in the yeah. middle of, you've got like some real world sort of implications and,
yeah, and some real
fighting
stuff
against
going
each
on.
Other and stuff.
Yeah.
That's fun.
And that introduction, everyone gets cool moments. The introduction of the Black Panther is unbelievable. When I saw that trailer, it was like, oh shit, that looks like possibly the first Marvel movie that will have another layer to it that you can really, you know, sink your teeth into when you see it. It looks great. I love Michael B. Jordan. I'm so excited that he's in it and playing the bad guy as well. That means, you know, immediately you think, oh, he might be a villain that I have, you know, a real interest in because he's a charismatic actor. What's he going to bring, you know? The whole cast looks fantastic.
It really does, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it looks like it's going to be really good. I hope it is really good.
Yeah.
And then I think that, didn't the guys who did the Captain America movie, aren't they the ones doing the...
Infinity. And the next one.
So they'll probably do a really good job with it.
Without a doubt. Those guys seem to juggle lots of characters without ever missing sight of, you know, each little journey the character has to go on.
Yeah.
It's really great. There's that, you know... There's those real great character moments, like in the fight with Hawkeye and Black Widow, in the middle of the fight, and she's like, "Are we still going to be friends after this?" And he says, "You know, it depends on how hard you hit me."
Right.
Like that's really a great moment in the middle of this big action scene.
Because well, also it is kind of a pantomime that battle. You
yeah.
know? It's a battle for the sake of them having a battle. It's not a battle that one side or the other particularly thinks that they can probably win.
Oh, yeah, 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 definitely.
Well, I mean, you know.
Yeah, like it's their friends, so it's
without
not...
it becoming something that they cross a line that they don't want to cross yet, right?
Spidey catching the Winter Soldier's arm. Whoa, robot arm, this is cool. And you go, oh, yeah, he's 15. Of course he'd think this is cool.
Right, well, that moment in the trailer for the new one where... He goes, get this man, like, where Black Panther's like, get this man a shield.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, and it's fucking, like, fucking...
Captain Chris, mate.
But also, like, a bit of fucking rough and tumble, beardy...
Yeah.
You know.
Lumberjack cat.
Yeah, exactly. I loved it. I was like, look at him, walking out of the shadows. I've loved that journey he's gone on.
Man.
They did such a cool... I reckon he's one of the best characters in the whole thing. Now.
He's, for and me, like, he's the MVP. Like, yeah. Robert Downey Jr. is your star player.
Yeah.
But he's your Jimmy Bartell.
Just every bit of it works, doesn't it? You
he's
get his
great.
Character motivations. They've taken that character really interesting places.
Yeah. He can be funny
he
while
be,
still being
he
stoic.
He can be really funny, yeah, without you know? Being hammy.
Yeah, you really buy into him when he you know, gives a speech. You go, oh, I'd buy into this
But
guy.
Also as a character, like, you know, he was more interested in his friend than necessarily the system. And he had principles that he was willing to fight for. And, like, they're not necessarily the old stereotypical, you know, the sort of USA principles, but more like, I have a moral compass of my own and I'm going to...
And the second movie has Robert Redford in it. Robert Redford. Holy moly.
Did I tell you about the meeting that I had at Netflix? We were pitching Gruen, and I had a meeting at Netflix, and they were glass offices.
Oh, right.
And so we're doing this pitch, and in the glass office across the corridor from us, Robert Redford was having a meeting about something.
Oh, really?
And just, I would be standing there, like, just so aware of the ridiculousness of the fact that I was pitching this little fucking show from America while across the hall fucking Robert Redford
he's,
was
he's pitching how he's going to sell Sundance.
Yeah. Like, wouldn't we all be better served by just going and staring through the glass at Robert Redford?
Oh, yeah. I'd pay a little fee. Just
like, to, just in my head, I'm like, what's more likely? That Netflix will buy this show or that I will ever get to stare at Robert Redford again? Which decision do I really wish that I made?
Yeah.
Well, at the time, I was happy to pitch the show.
Right.
But in reflection, now that they didn't pick up the show.
Right.
I really wasted some time. I could have been staring at Robert Redford.
He could have been burnt into the retinas.
They went the closest, apparently, though, I heard. Apparently, they really went close to buying it at Netflix, which would have been...
Perfect.
Perfect, but...
Does that mean you have to do 13 episodes and drop them all at once?
I don't know what it would mean. It would probably mean I'd signed up to something that I had no capacity to actually deliver on.
Yeah.
So, it's probably good it didn't happen.
No, it actually sounds busy. Like it worked out well.
But... Well, we should stare at Robert Redford more is the point.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. It's a very relatable sentence.
What else have you seen that you... I always like to talk movies with you, catch up on movies. What have you seen that you've liked?
Well, I saw The Killing of a Sacred Deer by the director who made The Lobster. Did you see The Lobster?
No.
No. Colin Farrell. The Lobster's the story about... in this world, you have to stay in a relationship, and if you're not, you go to a place, and you have 45 days to meet your perfect match, and if you don't, you get turned into the animal of your choice. And that's the premise.
I mean...
And it's brilliant.
It doesn't displease me as an idea.
Yeah, it's great. But this one is... there's some pretty full-on moments in The Lobster, and this one is... feels a little bit more like a horror story. And once again, it's Colin Farrell is a doctor who had a bit of a drinking problem, operated on someone, and that person died. And now the little boy, the son of that man who died, has pretty much placed a curse on the family, to sum it up, and says, you know, you have to make a choice on which of your children are going to die, or... they're both going to die, so you have to make a choice. And then they start getting sick, and it's really full on. Barry Keoghan, who was in Dunkirk, is the kid, and Nicole Kidman's in it, and she is great. But it is one of those movies that you get to the end and you go, oh, I don't know if I feel like talking to anyone. I don't know how I feel about this. It really gets under the skin, but it's worth it.
But is it some sort of like metaphor or analogy for something else? Or is it like, is the reason the story's because that's a, both of them seem like weird and interesting stories. So what is he trying to say?
You know, I think it's about, you know, looking at what you've done and taking responsibility for it. And then if you don't, how it can get out of hand, I guess. I feel like that's probably what it would be if you boiled it down. But the performances are all slightly off kilter. I've really enjoyed that this year. David Lynch with the Twin Peaks, Legion, and this, and all these little weird beats and storytelling seem to be coming back, and it brings a bit of ambiguity in, which I really like. And I saw The Disaster Artist, which I thought was heaps of fun.
Have you seen The Room?
I haven't seen The Room.
I have never seen The Room either.
Yeah.
Very famous.
Yeah.
You know, terrible movie that everybody's seen, but I've never seen it. I've never really had a great desire to see it.
Neither have I.
But I've been hearing decent things about The Disaster Artist.
Oh, it's great.
And it could have been one of those things that in itself was terrible.
Right. And it's like James Franco is fantastic, and his brother Dave is also great. And there's, you know, Seth Rogen's in it. Seth Rogen, you put him in a movie, it jumps at least 15% just because he's, you know, because I just... really enjoy watching him, and it's got pathos, and it's a little bit sad, and it's really funny, and then you have moments where it's borderline Jim Carrey and on the set of Man in the Moon. You know, it's just going back and forth between all these different emotions, but it's really good. It's great.
What did you think of the Jim and Andy Netflix documentary?
Man, that is fascinating. I there was so much to be fascinated by. One is no one else is interviewed. That is amazing.
No, it's him framing the entire story.
Right.
Modern day DMT smoking, unlocked the mysteries of the universe.
Right.
Jim Carrey talking about a place in time where either he was a genius or the biggest fucking indulgent pain in the ass of all time.
Right.
But he's certainly framing it in a way that, you know, seeks to explore that, but really probably just, you know, I mean, he's making a reframing documentary.
Yeah.
About the genius of himself.
Right.
Like, you know.
It's crazy.
It's.
And then it finishes.
And then you're like, well, is this great as well, though? Like, maybe this is, like, maybe this is his greatest work of all. Maybe the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was to.
Oh, yeah. So this is another act.
Right.
Oh, that'd be, wow, that'd be fantastic.
This is a piece within a piece.
Well, it's very restrained because I feel like the only thing that would have made it perfect is at the end, he just hovered off into space. It was such a weird experience.
Is it the end of it, like, you know, but then maybe I might be Jesus.
Yeah. I was like, what is going on? And it's...
He smoked too much DMT.
Is that it?
That is exactly what it is.
Jeez.
Like, he's gone full psychedelic.
Yeah.
You know, it's like... And I get it. Like, you know, there's been times in my life where I've done psychedelic things.
Yeah.
And, like, I get it. He's had, like, an insight into this, like, you know, that we're all one and
yeah.
the nature of existence, and he wants to share it. But he's just gone there too often. And everyone indulges. He's like, he doesn't have to go back to work.
Right.
Like, that was the thing that I was thinking when, like, I did DMT, was like, oh, yeah, these are the secrets of the universe. And if I was here all the time, this would, but I've actually got to be at something at eight.
Yeah. I've got things to do. I know the cosmos is calling, yeah. but
I mean,
I've got a dinner reservation.
Everything is one and nothing really means anything at all. Time exists at once, and I've seen my own death. But yeah. I still have to walk the dogs tonight.
Yeah. they need to go.
Right. Exactly.
They're not on this trip.
Yeah. So he's on that trip still.
Oh,
and,
man.
And you take it out into your life. It's one of the nice things about it is you have this revelation that you want to share with people. You feel connected to people, right?
Mm, yeah.
But it was fascinating. Like, it's as entertaining as all get out.
I could not take my eyes off his eyes. There is something else going on inside, and it was...
Even just his descriptions of his great ambition.
Yeah.
And as a kid and what he was like as a kid, you're like, well, this might be completely dishonest, but at the same time, it's fucking honest.
Right. Yes. It's either completely honest, and that is out of this world, or it's completely dishonest and honest in a way that he has no idea.
Right. Yeah. Either way, it's telling us something about you, but we're not quite sure what it's telling us.
Yeah.
And charismatic, very entertaining.
Right.
Like, into that idea of going, you know, what is the line between performance and... Because most of what he did, you know, you saw very experienced actors and directors and whatever shaking their fucking heads.
Danny DeVito was worth an out loud chuckle every time he appeared.
Oh, it's worth someone doing a supercut.
Oh,
of
yes.
Just his reactions when fucking Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Because what he does, for those who don't know the premise, like, you know, he played Andy Kaufman, who in himself was a enigmatic and charismatic and offbeat comedian.
Yeah.
And then he played him method style. So he became Andy for the sake of shooting it the whole time.
Yeah.
And behaved and became Tony Clifton and behaved in atrocious manners. And this
abhorrent.
Is quite abhorrent. And wasted everybody's time and blah, blah, blah. All justified by the fact that it was getting you a genius performance.
Right.
But even if it did get a genius performance, there's got to be a part of you that just goes, what was it worth? Was it that good a performance?
Right.
That it was worth fucking up 3 months of Danny DeVito's life?
Yeah.
And fucking up 3 months of that director's life? Could it not have been almost as good?
Yeah. And
everyone could have had a good time making it?
Mate, when it's all boiled down, it's just pretensies.
Could you just not pretend to be Andy?
You know what needs to happen now? Someone needs to make a movie about the documentary about the movie and go full carry doing Kaufman.
Oh, he'll do that in another 15 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Tony Clifton will host a fucking documentary about something. It's like, it's crazy. It was the behavior of someone insane. And as the wrestling guy was saying, he goes, I liked Andy. This was not what we were like.
Yeah.
He's having all these terrible, like, you know, interactions with him. And
yeah.
He's like, yeah, but this is... But at the same time, and Charlie and I talked about this, but it was like, And his family got down there and got some real comfort. And
right. That's the bit that blew my mind the most.
You know, and there was some evidence of that. It wasn't just Jim Carrey telling us that.
What happens if I died and then someone, you know, was playing the role of me and was wearing my glasses? Do you really feel like it would be a cathartic moment?
Who is it?
Who is it playing me?
Yeah. Before I decide whether it will be cathartic or not.
Yeah. Denzel Washington. No.
No. That would not be cathartic.
No, that'd be really weird. Who would it be?
What if it's George Clooney?
Oh, no.
Because he's like, the one remaining actor left.
He's the only one we can count on.
The only one we can trust.
This is...
I'd love that because he'd give me $1 million.
Yeah. Yeah. Just sneaks it under, pushes it with his foot. You're complaining. Ham, I would never do that.
I mean, I'll take the money, but...
As you're counting the
20s. This is not an authentic experience.
Oh, man. That's such a weird thing, but I'm so glad that I watched it and... Also, the other thing that was fascinating was, would he have gone... I wonder if his experience in The Truman Show also really helped nudge him in that direction, because he talked a lot about that and his insights into how that movie kind of pointed out what was going on.
I actually think that he has a lot of interesting things to say.
Yeah.
So there's enough interesting things to say along the way.
Yeah. Heaps.
That make it an interesting thing to watch. And you go, well, that's right. Even if I don't agree with everything you're saying here or what you're doing, like some of the things you're saying are correct, you know.
Yeah.
Or at least interesting enough that I think they're worth exploring.
Yeah.
And I love that there's someone like you who's exploring them.
Yeah.
You know what? If you want this stage of your fucking career to be, you know, old comedian with a beard, getting high on psychedelics and fucking explaining the fucking universe to people to justify previous bad behavior. I mean, it's not the worst of the things he could be doing.
Mate,
it's better than like a new Ace Ventura movie.
Oh, yeah. We don't need that. We do not need that.
Yeah.
But did you see him turning up to that Fashion Awards show? And when they asked him why he was there, and he was just given some kind of, none of this is real. None of this is real. And I thought, I want to go somewhere where it isn't real. And then he's, you can imagine it's the poor person on the red carpet who all they're used to hearing is, no, I'm wearing Christian Dior. Oh, you look magnificent. Oh, you having a good time tonight? Oh, yeah, I think it's going to be great. Oh, thanks for talking to us. And then this guy comes in and goes, wah! And it's pretty entertaining.
I mean, but also, wouldn't that be more fun?
Oh,
isn't there a part of you that were like, if we got invited to the Logies, we write some TV show based on this episode.
Yeah.
And we get invited to the Logies, right? Then remember when Trey and Matt from South Park took acid and went to the Oscars?
Oh, yeah.
Like, isn't there a part of you that's like, let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's Jim Carrey it.
Yeah.
And then let's go up the red carpet and every time someone wants to talk to us, talk to them about the universe, man.
Yeah.
And how we're all connected and the deconstruct the entire thing in long-winded, psychedelic-infused rants.
Yeah. Walking up there.
And love it.
Yeah, walking up there like Johnny Depp as Hunter S. Thompson on the carpet.
Recreate the trip in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
But just before the Logies. The Logies in Las Vegas.
Yeah, yeah.
Fear and Logies in Las Vegas.
Fear and Logies in Las Vegas. Thank you very much.
Oh, man. I felt like I was paddling through sand there for a bit, but we got there in the end.
That was good. That was a good
one. We should finish up, but I do need to just point out before we go, because we started this in the first episode and didn't get back to it.
Oh.
Shaggy and Mr. Bombastic.
Oh, yeah.
So, Mr. Lover-Lover, Mr. Lover-Lover, Mr. Lover-Lover-Girl. She called me Mr. Bombastic, say me fantastic. So now he's boasting, right?
Yeah, he is.
Touch me in me back, say I'm romantic. Touch me in my back.
Does that mean bum?
I think fingering his, like maybe she finds his G-spot.
Right. Through the mouse hole.
She called me Mr. Bombastic, say me fantastic, touch me in me back. And say I'm raw, smooth like silk.
Right.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Yeah.
Soft and cuddle, hug me up like a quilt.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a lyrical lover. No, take me for no filth. With my sexual physique, jar know me well built. Oh me, oh my, well, can't you tell? I'm just like a turtle crawling out of my shell. Turtles don't do that, though, really, do they?
Yeah.
Do they?
Well, I guess Mr. Bombastic could know.
Okay. But turtles, don't they normally just stay in their shells?
Maybe that shell's... Maybe they've built a new shell.
Gal, you captivate my body, put me under a spell. Oh, nice. With your couscous perfume, because I love your sweet smell. You are the only young girl that can ring my bell.
Come on, Mr. Bombastic. Times have changed, mate.
I feel like Mr. Bombastic's a teacher and now she's a school girl. Yeah. And this is like... and I can take rejection, so you tell me go to hell. Okay, all right.
Sure.
Sending mixed messages, Mr. Bombastic.
Yeah, come on.
I'll skip the chorus. Gee whiz, baby, please. Take you to the island of the sweet cool breeze.
Right.
You don't feel like drive, baby, hand me the keys. And I'll take you to a place, set your mind at ease. Don't you tickle my foot bottom. Ha ha, baby, please.
Okay. Man. The old foot bottom.
He's very descriptive about where he likes to be touched, which I guess is good, right? He's open about it.
And then just lots of noises around it.
Yeah. Don't you play with my nose. I might heart chum sneeze.
Right.
Well, you are the bun.
Okay.
It always at this point.
Yeah.
Goes bad. And me, I the cheese. Oh, okay. So like a cheese bun.
Right.
And if you me the rice well, you are the peas. This is either written by or maybe he was translating from a different language. He was like Jamaican or something.
This sounds like when you say to Siri, write me a song in the style of Shaggy.
Give me your loving gal, your loving well good. Oh, God. Yeah, okay.
I saw the disappointment in your eyes before you even said anything.
Here we go. I want to be your loving gal. You remember the Wu. The Wu-Tang Clan, I imagine.
Sure.
Would like to kiss and caress. Rub down every strand of hair on my chest. Again, how he likes to be touched. I'm bombastic, rated as the best. He's an Uber driver.
Yeah.
The best you could get, nothing more than nothing less. No, nothing more, nothing less. Give me your digits, jot down your address.
Right.
Hello.
G'day.
Again, it's that line. It's the twist.
Yeah.
I'll bet you confess when you put me to the test. Almost done. Gal, your admiration, if tick me from the start. With your physical attraction, gal, you know to feel the spark. A man of few word, now go, you know, sweet talk. Now go labba labba and chat pure fart.
No, it did not finish with that. It didn't. Did it finish with fart?
I mean...
Really?
Look, that's what it says. It's like... P-H-A-R-T. So the line is, now go labba labba and a chat pure fart.
Right.
I'll get straight to the point like an arrow or dart. Come lay down in my jacuzzi and get some bubble bath. Only sound you will hear is the beating of my heart. And we'll kiss and have some sweet pillow talk.
Right. My first question is, how does he remember all of that? Because it's not coherent enough to work out the rhythm to be able to stay on track.
I mean, maybe it's been badly translated, or maybe it was his second language, so it's more just like, maybe there's a dialect or a way of speaking.
Because Mr. Bombastic's from a different planet.
Well, maybe maybe we're being culturally insensitive, do you know what I mean? Like, let's find out where Shaggy was from. Orvel Richard Burrell, that's his real name, mostly known by his stage name Shaggy, is a Jamaican-American.
Oh, okay.
So it was probably some, like, you know, dialect.
Oh, yeah. I always thought he was, I didn't know that. I always thought he was, for some reason, I thought he was from LA.
Shaggy enlisted in the U.S. Oh, he was in the Marines? He was a Marine?
Oh.
Yep.
Private Orville.
Private Shaggy. anyway, there you go. All right. Thank you, Justin Hamilton. We're going to go and have some dinner.
Yes, thank you.